Mark Kelso joins us now, Bills radio color analyst. One more game on the docket, and that's against the Detroit Lions on Thursday night, and then the Bullets go live. Colts and Patriots to start a two-game homestand on September 13th, September 20th, and Mark Kelso, Bills radio color analyst, joins us now on Brady and Walker. Thanks for taking the time to do this, but that sounds good, that when you see that Detroit game on the schedule this week, you know it's almost over, right?
Yeah, and I think, the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think, thought it was over in Buffalo the other night, and those guys were done. You can see what happens when you add that fifth preseason game, because the Steelers have played in the Hall of Fame game, and I'm sure the Buffalo Bills players are certainly looking forward to teeing it up for real and putting the preseason behind them. I mean, there's a lot of, still a lot of decisions that need to be made, but certainly the preseason is really, when you're a veteran player, it's for one thing and one thing only, and that's preparation for opening day. So you want to limit the chance for injury, and you think you want to get your team prepared and put yourself in some scenarios that you might not be able to replicate in practice, and then hope that that you've covered all your bases here before opening day. But I think they're ready, but there are a few guys who will be putting out an awful lot of effort on Thursday night on both sides of the ball, for Detroit and the Bills, that if they can make a couple more plays, might be able to earn themselves a roster spot.
Mark Kelso's kind enough to join us. 8 years in the NFL on all four of those Buffalo Bills Super Bowl teams in the early 90s. Give me your read on the quarterbacking, because it was excellent against Pittsburgh. How much of that were the Bills and their productivity on offense, the blocking of the offensive line, but both Manuel and Taylor and Sims all put up good numbers and all looked very in control of their individual offenses, as it were.
Yeah, and I mean, some of it has to do with the defense of the Steelers, too. I mean, they kind of fell off the map a little last year with some guys getting a little bit older, the Steelers did, and they certainly weren't bringing the pressure that they're accustomed to bringing in a regular season, and they weren't dialing up all kinds of zone blitzes, which has been a hallmark of Dick LeBeau's defenses, and he's not there, of course, this year, and they turned I'm not sure who they even turned it over to, but he's not calling the defenses anymore. They always seem to get themselves in trouble, the Steelers do, when you extend the down on those guys and they don't have a pass rush, and they didn't have a whole lot the other night, and Bill's offensive line was playing pretty well. Quarterbacks were able to sit back there, and then they're extending the back end of the defense and putting a lot of stress on them. So, I mean, I thought all the quarterbacks played well, all quite frankly, all four of them, I think they all played. And they all played well, and they had their moments. They threw the ball crisply, made good decisions, made some plays down the field, and it's a good problem to have. And obviously the competition level on the other side, and guys trying to make rosters, and you don't know if guys are the same collection of players that are going to be there defensively if they're trying to make a team. So they're not playing with the 11 that they may typically play with. But you can't. Deny the fact that those Buffalo quarterbacks did a good job. And the thing that actually, to me, that's most interesting and I think pleasing in my mind is that you listen to those guys talk about each other, and the reporters are constantly asking them about the other guy and the competition. And they never fail to compliment the other guy. I mean, the attitude and the psychology behind the whole thing. I mean, somebody's doing something on the back end there in the locker room, because those guys, and to a man, I mean, you talked about some of the receivers and catching balls downfield, and they're talking about the offensive line. So everybody was deflecting attention to their teammates, and the quarterbacks have been doing that admirably here the entire preseason, just talking about how the other one has played so well, and his competitive level makes me better, and completely different attitude from what I've seen in the past. But they've all three played well. There's no question about that. Another question is, who do you go into the opening game with? It appears that they've made that decision, right?
Yeah, it sounds like Taylor. But the second quarterback has to be Matt Cassel, which it's tough for EJ Manuel, but he might have, the other guys haven't done anything to give up the one and two spots in the depth chart, from what you're saying and from everything I've seen as well.
Yeah, and but EJ's done everything I think you could expect him to do since he was benched for Kyle Orton last year. I mean, he's continued to improve. He still has a little bit of an arc in his throw, which I think is a little bit long. It causes the release to be just a split second slower than it could be if he speeds that arc up a little bit. But he threw with great accuracy and velocity, make great decisions. The Cleveland game was outstanding. A couple plays they made at the end of that game to culminate that victory, and he's played really well. Tyrod gives you certainly more improvisational ability. His athleticism is outstanding. He has no seat time, though. So now you're saying, okay, we're going to roll the dice. We think that we've seen enough of him. We know we can keep it close to the vest a little bit. I think they can control his desire to escape and his desire to create with his legs with some controlled stuff, whether it's a sprint out or a bootleg or a rollout or some quarterback read. But they're going to have to set up some scenarios between now and Indianapolis, quite frankly, that teach him to limit the opportunity to get hit downfield. Get yourself out of bounds. Make sure you slide when it's appropriate to do so. And don't try to escape out of the pocket. Move subtly in the pocket. Escape a little bit to your right or left or back up a little bit and then try to deliver the football downfield. But I think they'll do some things, particularly if he's going to be the guy to limit his opportunity for improvisational activity here early in the year, because you don't want to get a guy like that hurt. And then you got a guy, Matt Kessler, who has done it for a lot of years and can be a good mentor to both he and EJ, quite frankly. And because it seems like the quarterbacks of the future are going to be Tyrod and EJ if things continue to play out that way.
Yeah. Mark Kelso joins us on Brady and Walker Thursday night. Bills and Lions wrap up the preseason a week from next Sunday. It's the Bills hosting Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts at Ralph Wilson Stadium. You've seen a lot of Fred Jackson moments. You've been calling this team for a bunch of years now, so you've seen a lot of key moments. I don't doubt today was a tough day. Is it, to me, it seems as much... Yeah, there's money involved. Fred has a decent-sized contract. But to me, LeSean McCoy, Mark, also, I'd look and say he deserves a certain amount of touches. You didn't trade him not to get the same amount of touches. And I've counted 696 touches in the last 2 years in 32 games, either rushing or receiving. That's not counting even passes he was targeted for out of the slot. I would look in, or out of the backfield, I would look and think he's getting 21, 22 touches of the ball per game. That's just more than anybody's been capable of for the Bills. Is it much about money as it is LeSean McCoy just is going to be a workhorse for this team, and it makes Fred Jackson not necessarily as important as he was?
Well, you know, I still think I kind of think he was critically important. I'm disappointed to see that happen, and particularly the guy that's given the organization so much. And I think that with the collection of guys and the fact that they haven't played together so for very long and not at all in a regular season game, I think the team chemistry and the foundation of your team and the leadership, the locker room leadership, is critical, and he's a foundational piece. And now they've just removed that foundational piece, and it will allow other guys to step up if in fact this is their final plan, which I don't know why it wouldn't be here, because I don't see him being out there very long. He certainly has some usable years in his legs, even though he's 34 years old. There's still, as an all-around guy, when he is healthy, he can still run the ball exceptionally effectively. He picks up the blitz, he can catch the ball out of the backfield. So he's got a lot of assets, and there's nobody else right now on that football team that can do what he can do, save maybe LeSean McCoy. But I haven't seen it enough in the passing game that was exhibited in Philadelphia the last couple of years, because he's caught 25 or 30 balls, but they didn't utilize them to the level that Fred was used in Buffalo. But he's got, you know, it's disappointing, but I think as long as they sat in that meeting room and they said that we're going to do everything to make the team better, and if they feel that that's the piece that's going to make the team better, I don't know if they would have had consensus on that, but certainly a majority in that situation, and that's what they felt was the best thing that can happen. But certainly a sad day for the Buffalo Bills community and the organization, when you have a guy that spent so much to the organization and after 10 years is probably going to be wearing another uniform next year.
Yeah, it's got some risk to it. We have a 30 seconds. I'm sure you don't doubt he ends up somewhere else and is on another team. The irony, of course, would be if a team like the Jets or a team like the Dolphins want him in there and he's coming back to the Ralph every season for a couple years in a row, maybe.
How about New England? He would perform the role of Marshall Faulk or of Kevin Faulk.
Yeah,
is the role that Kevin Faulk performed for. I mean, he was like the little engine that could in New England. He was the guy that made that offense go for years and years. And Fred is just like that. He can run the ball better than Kevin Faulk, quite frankly. But coming out of the backfield, working against linebackers, picking up the blitz, he's exactly what a guy like Bill Belichick would be looking for. And if they have room on their roster, you can bet that they would pick him up in that situation. Probably not with his salary. They'd probably wait till he clears. Mm-hmm. but then they'll try to sign him on the back end.